A video has emerged featuring the Football Association of Ireland's chief executive, John Delaney, singing a Republican ballad in a Dublin pub following the Ireland win over the USA last week. Let's just have a listen to Mr. Delaney in full voice.
Dying unselfishly, oh, I'm Patsy O'Hara, and next in line was me. And those who lie behind me, may your courage be the same. And I pray to God my life was not in vain. Oh, sad, bitter was the year of 1981.
The FAI chief executive there, John Delaney, singing the ballad of Joe McDonnell last Tuesday. Now, in the past hour, he spoke to Ryan Tuberty over on 2FM. He described how much the song means to him.
Look, Joe McDonnell is a song that's been sang in my presence, that I've chipped in on, or I've sang on a number of occasions in the past. I'm not somebody who supports violence at all. In fact, over a large number of years, I've been working very closely on cross-border initiatives in football to break down barriers. I'm just not a violent person. My grandfather fought in the Civil War. He also fought in the War of Independence. Yep. I've always said I'm a nationalist background. Actually, even said it on a program with you on the late day. When you sing a song like that, you don't believe in every word that's in the song. I sing a large number of songs, maybe five or six different ones. And I know it's normally done in a private way. When there's a sing song, it's a typical Irish thing we do. We sing songs amongst our group, and you expect it to be kept to a group. Unfortunately, on occasions, people use camera phones in a sly way, and they try and tape it. People who are not in your company, and then they try to make something bigger than it is. What I will say, if the song offends anybody, of course, I'm sorry. That's not in my nature to want to offend people. But it was something that I have sang or have sung in my presence in private in the past.
And that was John Delaney speaking to Ryan Tuberty earlier. On the line now, Emmett Malone, football correspondent of the Irish Times, which carries this story on its front page today. Emmett, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sean.
First of all, the Ballad of Joe McDonnell, what's that song all about?
Well, it's a song sung from the or written from the perspective of the hunger striker Joe McDonnell, who was a member of the IRA. He was convicted in 1977 of firearms offences. He was arrested in the company of Bobby Sands. An attempt had been made by six IRA members to blow up a furniture store in Dunmurry. They were convicted of possession of a pistol used in the incident. And he subsequently went on hunger strike in 1981. It mentions and references a number of other hunger strikers, including Patsy O'Hara, who you hear John Delaney sing about there, and also Raymond McCreesh, who was another hunger striker, another IRA man, who, when he was arrested, the Historical Inquiries Unit of the Police Service of Northern Ireland subsequently suggested, much more recently, I think last year, in fact, that he was arrested in possession of a weapon used in the King's Mills massacre, in which 11 Protestant workers and one Catholic were taken off a bus on their way home from a textiles factory. The 11 Protestants were lined up and shot, and 10 of them died. One survived.
There is a long tradition of balladeering going back many centuries or several centuries,
sure,
eulogising people who fought on the Republican side or fought in wars or battles of various kinds. All of what they did mightn't have been the most savoury, and you've outlined certain instances there, and people clearly would be offended. But is there a particular difficulty about John Delaney singing a song like that?
Well, I think that is it. I mean, I'm sure that there is, you know, there has been a history, as you say, of singing these ballads. I think in the Irish team context, there has been a history of singing ballads relating to the War of Independence and going back further than that. Clearly, the events linked to this song in particular are a good deal more contemporary than that. And I think what's important here is that we have the head of a sports organisation who, on the one hand, in his day-to-day work, as he says himself there in the clip that you play, does work across the border, builds, you know, tries to do work on joint initiatives with the Irish Football Association, which I think you would probably tend to find is for the most part staffed by people who would be unsympathetic to the sentiments expressed in the song. They do business with the Scottish Football Association. Relations are poor with them in the wake of a dispute over money a few years back, and much more recently over criticism in relation to the ticketing for the Ireland game there. Next summer we'll have the English FA come to Lansdowne Road or the Aviva Stadium, a much awaited friendly which is worth a great deal of money to the Football Association of Ireland. We have a manager teenager born north of the border who does lives and works in Britain along with his assistant. We have English-born players. I mean, if you look back at the games played last week, we have the likes of Richard Keogh, John Waters, Kieran Clark, all featuring in those games. We have two newcomers, Cyrus Christie and David McGolder, coming into the team, having been born in England. And this is an important area for Martin O'Neill. It's an area under which he repeatedly comes under pressure as to, you know, uncovering English-born talent with Irish roots that can declare for the country. The issue of sectarianism was something that was raised in relation to the Scotland game. Aidan McGeady and James McCarthy, for those two, I'm sure they wouldn't thank him. And Northern Ireland-born James McLean, I have to write a letter to his club chairman recently explaining why he didn't feel he was in a position to wear a poppy on his shirt during an English League match. So I don't think any of these people would thank John Delaney for you know saying these sort of things. He says that he doesn't want to cause offence. He says that he has sung this song in groups before, and that he kind of complains that people bring this into public. But he was singing in a public bar within 100 metres of the Aviva Stadium after a game. I mean, this is a very public event, essentially. It's been videoed by, you know, somebody who's there and clearly unsympathetic. He's not in private company, and that, I think, is a major issue.
As you're indicating, just beneath the surface of the relationships that the FAI has and Irish football has with other countries in these islands or other competing countries.
Sure.
There is a lot of naked sectarianism. You don't have to scratch very deep to find that. I mean, we saw what's happened from time to time at Windsor Park. We see what happens in Celtic Park. So is this damaging for John Delaney personally to be found out like this?
I think it has to be. I think we have this kind of long run of events with John Delaney where he attracts controversy. We've had incidents in Tallinn during a qualifier there, in Vilnia, in Sopot, many of them involving, you know, late night drinking and, you know, liaising with fans, and he has his supporters amongst the away supporters. He has his critics too, but it's just constantly difficult, consistently difficult to imagine poor Duffy or Philip Brown finding themselves in the similar sorts of situations. He puts himself out there very much in public, and I think on you know too many occasions he has cause to regret his actions.
Well, I suppose you're talking here about somebody who likes to identify with the fan base. Philip Brown being the head of the IRFU and Pádraig Duffy, his opposite number in the Gaelic Athletic Association. But is he likely to face any criticism from within the FAI as a result of this?
Well, no meaningful criticism, no. I mean, he controls the FAI to an extent that suggests that he's beyond criticism internally. Anybody who has criticised him over the last 10 years has tended to leave the organisation within a pretty short period of time. So, no, I don't think it'll have any major ramifications. But it is yet another embarrassment for him and for the organisation.
So are you saying that there's kind of, not so much a conspiracy of silence, but is it a case of uno duce, una voce, pardon the pun, when John Delaney decides to engage with fans in this fashion, nobody's going to object?
Well, there's certainly a touch of that, yeah. I mean, he attracts criticism from fans. He has previously divided them. I think he's managed to go far closer to uniting them over his behaviour in relation to the ticketing for the Scotland game, where the association made an unmitigated mess of the allocation of the portion of tickets that were left over for fans. And you boys in green, the supporters group, which has previously been certainly, you know, perhaps divided, but in fact kind of had quite close relations at times with John Delaney or appeared to, came out. Became very, very critical of him and the comments that he made in advance of that game, including at one stage when Delaney suggested that the Scots had perhaps laid the groundwork for problems inside the ground by selling tickets in Scottish supporters sections to Irish fans. What you boys in green criticised him for creating what they described as unnecessary tension. And I think for the head of a major sports organisation in Ireland, which does, as you say, have important links to other sports organisations, to clubs, to all sorts of people on these islands.
Yeah.
I think that's you could certainly accuse him in this instance of creating unnecessary tension.
But is there any sense in which the Irish Times has John Delaney in its sights here in a way that maybe other papers like The Independent mightn't have?
Well, I think there's something of a relationship between the Independent newspaper group and the FAI, which the Irish Times doesn't have. So perhaps to that extent there is. Other than that, we cover news stories as they arise with them. And I guess in that sense you could perhaps say that he is on occasion, he seems like the gift that keeps on giving.
Emmett Malone, football correspondent, soccer correspondent with the Irish Times. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. We'll be hearing from Leon Panetta after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.